Thanks, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you tomorrow afternoon, again on the air, like Jerry said, 3:30 Eastern time for what the Yankees are calling a 4:05 first pitch, but we all know it's going to be 4:10. It will be Marcus Stroman, and that's what Joe said is what we're hearing as well. Stroman will pitch, then he'll drop his appeal, and then he'll pitch Saturday, the second-to-last game of the season against the Baltimore Orioles, and hopefully the Blue Jays will get a couple of wins between now and then. 0-5 on this road trip, and again, a season-high six-game losing streak. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We're here till midnight, so you might as well give us a call. We start with Brandon in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Brandon, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me aboard, and it's still mind-boggling how the Yankees are ahead of us.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how these guys are in it still. Well, they're not in it, but...
They're not in it to the same extent the Blue Jays are in it.
Just over 500, I thought they'd be a lot worse, but that's not my topic of conversation. I'd like to talk about the offseason, and just kind of, I guess, guessing game. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't see Melky staying here, and maybe a lot of people too, but as much as I want him to stay, I don't see him staying here. I see him going off somewhere, and the team that's come into my head is Detroit, since Torii Hunter's I think he's a free agent this year, I'm pretty sure. I really see him going off somewhere else. And then that leaves the Jays. I don't think Rasmus is coming back.
No, I don't think he is either.
And that leaves the Jays with the outfield's pretty different. I'm guessing Ghost will be in the outfield. Then you'll need another corner infielder, and then you'll need an infielder. Does it maybe smell like time to rebuild? I don't know. I heard it on the Blair Show. It wasn't Jeff Blair that said it. A caller said it, and maybe they rebuild from here. I don't know. Do you think that'd be ever a topic, a rebuild?
I don't think it makes any sense.
You don't? I don't know. Cause I don't think if you could do it this year, I don't think you could do it next year unless you're willing to spend the money. There's a lot of things that went for the Jays.
There are a lot of things that went the Jays' way, except for Baltimore going nuts and being a 95-96 win team. As much as people say that, the Yankees and Red Sox and Rays had bad years, they did. Baltimore took advantage, and the Blue Jays didn't. But the idea that this is the only year that the American League East was going to be available, it's easily disproved by the fact that every team in the division has now won it in the last 5 years, except for the Blue Jays. So, you know, it's no longer, the Yankees and Red Sox are no longer these impenetrable things. The Red Sox will have finished in last place in the division twice in the last 3 years. And amazingly, they won a World Series in between. But I don't think that it's a guarantee that New York and Boston are just going to reload in the offseason and all of a sudden become great again, especially since there's not a ton of great free agents available. The Yankees will go after James Shields, and the Red Sox will go after James Shields, and everybody's going to go after James Shields. And everybody's, you know, the Yankees may well, they may not go after Melky. They might. I mean, they brought him up, and they could use an Ichiro replacement because right field just isn't what they thought it was going to be. But I think that the division will remain in play, and the Blue Jays payroll will remain in the top 10 in the major leagues, if not a little bit higher. But the reason I think that a rebuild is a counterintuitive is because you've got a strong, what you hope is a strong starting pitching staff. Even if it's just Dickey, Stroman, Hutchison, that's a strong beginning to a pitching staff. Aaron Sanchez is coming. Jay Happ is here. Mark Burley, if he comes back, is a fine bottom-of-the-rotation guy. You've got that, and you've got Bautista, Encarnacion, Lind, and Reyes, who are four really, really, really good hitters. So I think that if you blow it all up, then you're sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face because you can't find a couple of bottom-of-the-order guys that you're happy with.
Yeah, it's another thing. And my last thing is, I think Jose Bautista should be in that MVP race. I was watching the game today and just looking at his numbers and just the year he's had. It's really been going under the radar. I think he's definitely in that talk, but I don't think he'll win it.
No, he's got no chance. No chance. He'll get some votes.
I think he deserves like some votes and some. He's to me has one of the most underrated years. Just.
Well, here's the problem.
He's had a really good year.
And you're correct, but the MVP award is a team award. It shouldn't be, and I really think they should rename it the MVT. It's not most valuable player. It's most valuable teammates, because you have to be on a winning team.
Yeah.
In order to win the MVP. And
I remember Verlander winning it.
Right. It doesn't matter how good you are if you're on a team that's around 500.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. I would love that to be changed. But, people say, well, value means how can you be valuable if you're not on a winning team? Well, then it's about your teammates, isn't it? Whoever has the best year with the best teammates wins the MVP. Jose Bautista's leading the league in on-base percentage. He's got over 30 homers. He's driven in over 100 runs. Crazy OPS. He deserves to be in the conversation for the most valuable player in the American League. And he's not in the conversation because the team he's on is one game over 500. Just like Mike Trout wasn't in the conversation for the American League MVP until the Angels went nuts and the A's went in the tank, and now Trout's probably going to win it. Which is lovely. He's had a great year. But if the Angels had finished up the track, doesn't matter what kind of year he has. Blue Jays lose it 5-3 to the New York Yankees. We go to Barry in Toronto, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Barry.
How are you doing, Mike? I really enjoy your play-by-play call, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I do enjoy it. But I listen to Blue Jay talk every night, and I'm kind of conflicted. I mean, I know you seem to love the manager. You love the general manager. You like the players, but we're not going anywhere. And then the other night I hear you talking about Melky Cabrera. Why would we sign him to a five-year deal?
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, it depends on the money, obviously.
Well, I know, but Mike, like, can we overpay for somebody? Like, instead of always worrying about payroll parameters and the economics of things and player-friendly contracts, like, if we don't get Cabrera back, I mean, you've just seen the last seven games or eight games. Like, not that he's the whole thing, the whole reason, but we can't score runs.
Yeah, he's not the whole reason.
No, he's not the reason. I understand that.
But the Blue Jays are overpaying people. They're overpaying Jose Reyes. He's making $22 million
a year. That's what they're doing. They got him in a trade.
Well, but they got him with that contract.
Yeah.
They're overpaying Mark Burley, who they also got in the same trade. And people are pretty upset about that.
Right.
So the question is the money going to get silly for Melky Cabrera? And if it is, you got to excuse yourself from that conversation.
Well, I'm a season ticket holder, okay?
Okay.
And what's going to bring me back next year? Like right now as I sit, I see, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming John Gibbs. I'm not blaming Anthopoulos. But if everything remains the same and we lose Melky Cabrera, like I mean, the Yankees will be stronger next year. I mean, they had a bunch of injuries this year. We all know that. We know Boston will be better next year. I mean, we got so many holes to fill. Like, where do you see the light of day is my question.
Well, I don't really think that they're going to come back with the exact same group, minus Melky Cabrera, and say, you know what, we're going to win this time. We didn't win last time. We had a, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 game improvement over the year before. Hopefully more than that, but they got to start winning some ball games.
Well, I wouldn't assume that.
No, you can't assume it anymore.
No.
But they're already 3 wins better than they were all last year.
Right.
With a week and a half to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to bring back the exact same group, minus Melky Cabrera. There will be changes made. And even, you get a full year of Marcus Stroman, you get a year of Aaron Sanchez in the rotation. Those are big things. They're going to rework the bullpen. They're going to try to find position players to help.
But I remember Alex last year said that at the end of last year, and really, we didn't really do anything over the offseason.
That doesn't mean they didn't try.
No, I'm not saying he didn't try. No, I'm not saying that. But if he's kind of locked into a certain payroll, and
It's a pretty healthy certain payroll.
Well, I'm not saying it's not. We're in the top 10. Okay, we're in the top 10. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I just don't. I mean, I just see so many holes, and I just see. I'm trying to find the light of day, and I mean, I know you look at the glass half full, and that's a good way to look at things. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I just
that.
Look I mean, at things as they are. I don't know that I look at things half full or half empty.
Let me ask you a question. This team right. continues to lose going to the end of the year. I mean, do we bring back Gibby?
What difference does it make? Well, honestly, if they lose their last 9 games, and I don't expect they will.
No.
What difference does it make at this point? You know, is it a reflection on Gibby? I don't think so. Is it a reflection on the fact that they're running these kids out there at the bottom of the order? Yeah. That it's been a long grind of a season where they thought they had it in the bag and then it all kind of fell apart and people are starting to, you know, have had enough. I don't think that's the case. But, you know, finishing a season, and I know it feels bleak right now, just like it has always felt bleak every time the Blue Jays have been in a big losing streak, whether it's now, whether it's June, whether it was August, whatever it was, people were calling this show saying, how are we ever going to win again? How is it this team's not going to win another game or two the rest of the season? And that's not the way it works. They've been a very, very streaky team. Unfortunately, now they're in the big down spiral and out of it, which is a tough combination and one we haven't had to deal with yet this year. But it's tough not to get upset and frustrated.
Well, I mean,
but it doesn't mean that you know that this is an awful team. It's not.
I'm not saying it's an awful team.
It doesn't mean that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And it doesn't mean that next year is going to be a last place finish and a terrible year.
Well, I mean,
that's what you're thinking.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I'm just looking at kind of what I see out there. And
You're talking out of complete frustration and upset.
Well, let me ask
and
you
I understand that. Okay, you're more
you
than entitled to do that.
Okay. Like a Danny Valencia, for instance.
Yeah.
From what you've seen.
Yep.
Do you think he belongs on the team? I'm just curious.
Absolutely.
Should he
be playing every day? No chance. But can he help this team? For sure. He should be in that lineup playing against lefties. He is a great hitter against left-handed pitching. Always has been. Same thing, John Mayberry deserves a shot to be half an outfielder on this team. I love platoons. And I know for some reason a lot of people don't. I don't know why, but a lot of people don't.
Why haven't we used Dan? Well, let me ask you a question. Why hasn't Gibbons used Dan Johnson?
I don't know.
I know, but doesn't that...
I don't know.
Going back to the manager, I mean...
Well, there have only been really, three spots where I would have thought, man, you could really use Dan Johnson here. And they haven't.
I realize that, but I mean, if it's the right thing to do, I mean, why isn't he?
It makes me think that there's something else going on, and I don't know what that is. I the thing is, when things look that obvious to the whole world, there's generally something going on that's making it not happen. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know if that's the truth. But there was an opportunity to use Dan Johnson today. He let Valencia hit. I didn't understand that. Anytime Juan Francisco bats and Dan Johnson is still on the bench, that's a mistake. But again, it's only happened 3 or 4 times. I don't understand it. It's certainly not the difference in the season, but it is weird.
I know, and I'm not necessarily blaming Gibbons, but I mean, maybe there's nobody else you can get to manage a club, I suppose. But I mean, it just, I don't know. I mean, it just, like I say, very, very frustrating. And
And it should be.
And I'm, and like I say, maybe Alex's hands are, maybe his hands are boxed. I mean, if the management won't give him more, ownership won't give him more money, and he's stuck with these contracts, maybe. But I hope they get Melky. I mean, at least with Melky, it's a legitimate lineup, in my opinion, at least for hitting anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty legitimate without him. It's much, much better with him. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think, I can feel how despondent you are, and I feel for you. I really do. That's what happens when you lose 6 in a row in September, when you were 3 games out of a playoff spot. You get a lot of despondent. And it's deserved over the way this season seems to be coming to an end. But it doesn't mean changes can't be made, and it doesn't mean improvements can't be made over the off season. And I certainly expect that there will be, that this is going to be a better team on the field on April 6th, I think, opening day next year, than it is right now. Pete is in Cambridge. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk till midnight.
Mr. Wilner, I'm not going to take you up till midnight because I'm sure there's other people that want to talk. But
I would be really impressed if you could go 100 minutes.
I called in for a totally different reason, so remind me if I forget about it, because I wasn't going to call in to banter about this or that or the other thing. But that previous caller with season tickets, I also have them. If he's in a bad way, and rightfully so, to be disappointed, yeah. And if you want to give up your season tickets, let somebody else come up on them for next year, no problem. I'm not anticipating that I'm going to be doing that. With what's happened today, what a class move by Gibby to put Pompey Jr. in the game without letting them know until just before the game. Just exactly the way he said during the interview, so he wouldn't have a restless night and he gets some sleep not knowing. And another class-ass move is when he knocked that one out when he was at bat and Strawberry knew that was his ball. He threw it over to the dugout because he knew that the kid wanted to keep that. And on top of all that, when Jeter is up to bat, he gets him out because he's playing the field. And that's just crazy for a kid coming up with the year that he's had, because he started with A this year.
Yep.
And for him to be out at Yankee Stadium, that's the way you really want to start off. Hopefully it's going to be a long career, and you got to see it's coming down the road.
Oh, hopefully it'll be a very long and very successful career for Dalton Pompey. And you know what? He hit three rockets tonight, two of them caught by Mark Teixeira and one for his first big league hit. That had to be a tremendous night. It was cool to not tell him, that's for sure. And it was also, that's a big night. And John Gibbons said after the game that he was very impressed with Pompey and that we're going to be seeing a lot more of him. And I hope so, because he's got a chance to give this team a little bit of a boost and leave a much better taste than the taste we're getting now.
And I'd also like to shoot some holes in the wings of those people that call in about Gibby. Why should we keep him? He should be gone. Get somebody else in there next year. Uh-uh. No way. This guy knows what he's doing. He knows the game. He knows his team. He knows how to deal with people. And if you've got a manager that players will not work with, forget it. You can forget about no matter how much talent you have on the team. It's not going to happen. This guy has respect from his team no matter who he deals with, and he's just been a great manager all along. He knows the game. He knows what he's doing. And for him, for anybody to suggest, even to hint, why keep Gibby or Gibby should go, I'm sorry, but uh-uh.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate the call. There have been a few more this month than in his entire tenure to this point, moves by John Gibbons that I've wondered about, that I've thought, that's kind of odd. Why is he doing that? I think he keeps running Danny Valencia out there at third base every day because he feels as though he has no other option. Certainly, we've all seen enough of Juan Francisco. Munenori Kawasaki got a start at third the other day and showed that he just doesn't have the arm to make a tough play at that position. He just doesn't. Steve Tolleson hasn't hit in months. There really aren't any other options. And Danny Valencia, I was going to say to his credit, but that's kind of mean. Danny Valencia is at least showing the world that he has earned that career designation of not being able to hit right-handed pitching. He's 8-for-51 against righties in the month of September, playing every day. So hopefully that quiets all of that, and the Blue Jays realize that while he's a wonderful platoon player like Adam Lind is, he's the kind of the mirror image of Adam Lind, except he can play third, which makes him, I guess, exactly the mirror image. Then they know this is not a guy you count on in case, you know, with if Brett Laurie goes down again next year, this isn't a guy that you can plug in to play third base every day for a month. Jordan is in Mississauga. Jordan, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I would just like to think, I think that we should trade Melky Cabrera.
You can't.
Or at least a decent relief pitcher and a decent center fielder.
You can't trade Melky Cabrera.
I think we should because...
He can't be traded. He's a free agent after the season. There's no... You can't trade him.
I'm not saying you don't want to.
I'm saying you can't.
I know, but I think the Blue Jays have at least a decent amount of hitters. Like the Jose Bautista, we got Edwin, we got Lowry if he's injured. I mean, if he's healthy.
Yep.
I just really think that we should give him up for at least a decent relief pitcher.
Jordan, did you hear what I told you?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I said? Because it doesn't seem like you understand it. You cannot trade him.
For at least a decent pitcher.
No. You can't trade him. He's a free agent in 2 weeks. No team will trade for Melky Cabrera in order to not use him for the last week because he has a broken hand, and then he leaves as a free agent. He cannot be traded.
I just think that we should because...
Okay, Jordan, I'm sorry. You're just not getting it. I don't know if it's a language issue or you're choosing not to listen or you're just having fun. I'm hoping that you're just having a good laugh right now. That's my hope. Blue Jays talk till midnight will continue. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will continue our Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're having a little bit of an issue getting the stream up online. We're working on it, trying to figure it out. So I know there are a lot of people who are trying to... listen online and you can't. Hopefully we'll have that figured out very soon. So keep an ear on sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays lose it 5-3 to the New York Yankees. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Another disappointing night for the Toronto Blue Jays. They lose 5-3 to the New York Yankees, a double play ball thrown away by Jose Reyes in the fourth inning, allowing the two big runs to score that were the difference in the ballgame. Blue Jays had opportunities to come back in the seventh, second, and third, two out. Jose Bautista with a 10-pitch walk coming back from 0-2 against Esmiel Rogers, and Edwin Encarnacion wound up grounding out to shortstop to end the inning. Dalton Pompey gets his first start in the big leagues and goes 1-for-4 with a single in his first at bat and has two other rockets robbed by Mark Teixeira. Elsewhere on the scoreboard, the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles are in extra innings in a 3-3 tie. The White Sox leading Tampa Bay 4-3. They are in the bottom of the ninth with one out and nobody on, and Eric Surkamp trying to close it out. Cleveland leads Minnesota 4-3. That game is in the bottom of the eighth. It's Detroit. Big time over Kansas City, 10-0 in the top of the seventh. The Tigers currently with just a half game lead over the Royals in the AL Central, but that's going to change to a game and a half awfully soon. Seattle taking care of Houston, 8-2 in the bottom of the sixth. Oakland leads Philadelphia, 3-0 in the top of the third. The A's are now the second wild card in the American League, chasing Kansas City. Earlier today, Washington beat Miami 3-2. Pittsburgh took down Milwaukee 4-2. Dodgers beat the Cubs 14-5. So LA is now three games ahead of the Giants for first in the West. San Francisco is in San Diego, and it's 0-0 in the bottom of the first. Blue Jays talk till midnight will continue on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca until midnight Eastern time. And Blue Jays will be back at it tomorrow. We're on at 3:30 p.m. Eastern for a 4:05 first pitch. Marcus Stroman before he drops the appeal of his suspension against the lefty Chris Capuano. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Alex Maczynski, and Matt Killer Brown, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.
1-1 pitch. Belted right field. That one's not coming back. A two-run home run, and the Yankees go out in front 3-2.
Jacoby Ellsbury had three ribbies to lead New York to a 5-3 victory.
Six straight losses for the Blue Jays now. They're 0-5 on this road trip, dropping it in New York. Edwin Encarnacion with a two-run homer in the first. But with the bases loaded and two out in the seventh, and the Jays down by two, Edwin grounded out to shortstop to end the Blue Jays' last threat. Mark Burley gave up all five Yankee runs over six innings. He falls to 12-10.
In the top of the seventh, Cleveland leading Minnesota 4-3 in the bottom of eight. Baltimore and Boston tied up three.
Blue Jays take the early lead, and once again, they fall flat. Edwin Encarnacion with his 33rd home run of the season, a two-run shot in the first to tie Jose Bautista for the team lead, but the Yankees got one back in the bottom of the inning, and then two back in the third on a two-run homer by Jacoby Ellsbury, which gave them the lead for good. Mark Burley went six, retired the last seven he faced, but gave up five runs on eight hits to take his 10th loss.
And perhaps misunderstandings. Finally, we hear from Roger Goodell. He spoke to the media today, NFL commissioner, admitting he did not handle the Ray Rice situation very well.
I made a mistake. I'm not satisfied with the process that we went through. I'm not satisfied with the conclusions.
He also said there will be changes to the personal conduct policy. The Maple Leafs skated today for the first time at the MasterCard Center. Tyler Bozak and David Clarkson were not out. They are day-to-day with undisclosed injuries. And happening now, Chad Owens is back. The Toronto Argonauts leading the BC Lions 4-0 with under 5 minutes to go in the first. Blue Jays talk continues. It's on till midnight right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Don't miss a minute of Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Brett Cecil. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Did you have any family or friends here tonight? Just because here's a surprise for you. He said, my best friend from Mississauga came down here and he's in the stands tonight. There's a line drive, base hit into right field. Over to cut it off, Ichiro. Up to second base goes Kawasaki. Dalton Pompey, you've got an average in your first big league hit.
And there you go, Dalton Pompey with his first major league hit and the first at bat of his first major league start. And he should have had three tonight. The Mississauga, Ontario native. Great job in his first big league start. And John Gibbons saying that you're going to see a lot more of him over the course of the final nine games of the season. Blue Jays lose it 5-3 to the Yankees. 0-5 on the road trip, a season-high six-game losing streak. And now just one game over 500 in the waning days of this season. It is Blue Jays talk till midnight. We're trying to get in touch with somebody from Baseball Canada. Don't know if you heard, but the Canadian junior national team won the bronze medal at the 18 and under Pan American Championships in Mexico last weekend and got stranded in Mexico by a hurricane for a couple of days. No power, no food. And we're trying to get in touch with someone to talk about that and see, tell us the story of how they made it out. Everybody got out safe in one piece, all of that stuff. So that's good stuff. We'd like to hear the story as our Blue Jays talk till midnight continues. Till then, more of your phone calls. We'll also keep an eye on some of the close games that are going on right now in the major leagues of baseball. The Indians and Twins, it's 4-3. Cleveland, they're in the bottom of the eighth inning right there. St. Louis and Cincinnati, it's 2-1. Cards over the Reds. Nobody out in the top of the ninth. And we'll keep an eye on that one. And if it gets interesting, we will take you to St. Louis for a live listen-in to the top of the ninth inning. The Cardinals right now in the National League Central have the lead by two games over the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have already won tonight. So we haven't done any live listen-ins in any National League games. It could be fun. But right now, let's go to Adam in Oshawa. Adam, welcome to Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight.
Hi, Mike. Pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to ask you your opinion on how would you set up the rotation going into next year, barring no major changes? And also, I wanted to ask you about a Cuban international outfielder, Alfredo Despeña, I think is how you pronounce his name. And I from all I've read and heard, he's crushed everything he's ever played in. He's played against professional baseball players in the World Baseball Classic. He crushed them there. So why isn't Alex Anthopoulos on a plane to Japan right now to try and sign him?
Does he have residence in Japan? I don't think that's
how it works. He's a Cuban international, so there is going to be like immigration issues, but I don't understand why he wouldn't try and make a player convince him to defect to be a Blue Jay. I mean, or anybody else.
Okay,
for that matter,
first of all, let me say this. I've never seen him play, right? And I'm reluctant to discuss guys that I've never seen play, but he signed a contract to play for a year in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that going over and stealing him from a Japanese league team is a good business sense, you know, for future potential anythings. I think that what you do is you watch him, you scout him, you see how he plays in Japan, and then when that season's over, then maybe you try to convince him to take a plane here instead of back to Cuba, and you see what happens. But I don't think that this is a guy who's available right now. I mean, he has to go back to Cuba according to the deal that he signed. He's already been kicked out of the Mexican league because he was using a fake passport.
I read about that. Yeah.
So, but I don't think he's in play right now.
No.
I do think, and I hope that the Blue Jays are taking good looks at all of these free agents, all the international free agents.
Of course.
You know, so
yeah, I mean, you got to. But I feel this player, especially if we're going to lose Melky.
Well, but again, this is a guy that you've never seen either,
right? Somewhat of a replacement one day, right?
Right. This is a guy you've never seen. So we only know what we've read about him. And remember how everyone was going nuts on me.
That's true.
In February, about the Korean pitcher that the Orioles signed. Right?
Yeah. I agree, Mike. And about the rotation, your opinion, I'll hang up and let you and take that off the air. Thank you very much.
If they don't make any changes, it's hard for me to imagine that they're not going to make any changes in the off season. And I know that the popular idea among frustrated and despondent fans watching the 6-game losing streak are that everything's going to be exactly the same next year. I don't think it will be. But if you do bring back the same bunch next year, then I think it's got to be, to start the season anyway, the same five guys: Dickey, Burley, Hutchison, Stroman, and Happ. And Sanchez either starts in the bullpen, and I wouldn't mind that, you know, have him pitch two months out of the bullpen, then move him into the rotation, kind of like Atlanta did with Chris Medlin a couple of years ago. But I do think room will be made for Aaron Sanchez in that rotation. And I think that Hutchison, Stroman, and Sanchez will all be in the rotation, and so will Dickey. And considering the fact that Jay Happ's going to make a third as much money as Mark Burley, I think they would prefer that it would be Happ, who was the other guy. But, again, if Burley's here, Burley's in the rotation. There is zero question about that. Jeff is in the Philippines? Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What's doing in the Philippines?
It's a long story, but I prefer the warm weather to the colder weather that's coming to Canada. So I've been coming out here for the last 5 years. And it's funny you mentioned we had a horrible typhoon yesterday, which basically shut down the entire Metro Manila area. Now I stay in a nicer area. I'm not calling about the weather report, but things have calmed down and things are okay. To anyone that does have people out here in the Phils, things are okay.
Good.
What I wanted to say, Meg, I thought you're a very brilliant broadcaster. I've been listening to you for years, but the bottom line is that I've been following the Jays since day one. And, you know, the day of when we used to produce our own talent, you know, whether it be fielders, pitching, that sort of thing, We really haven't done that in quite some time. And you may agree with me, but I think that the pitching rotation that we have right now, it's subpar. Yes, there's some strokes of brilliance, and then they're going into their second season. But what really bothers me the most is the way this team has quit. Yes, they're out of it, but you still go out and hustle, and you play hard, and we're not seeing that. The frustration of Batista, who can blame him? And I really, truly believe that we've got to go to the point of, look, it's not working, okay? We need a fresh change. Why didn't we go out and get a guy like Buck when he was available to be a manager for our team? No, we didn't. We hired John Gibbons. I don't know when Buck started with the Orioles, but he's turned that team around. The point is that I think as much as it hurts me, we've got to start unloading. If we can't sign Milky Cabrera, okay, which is not the end-all and be-all. But if we can't do that, meaning that they're capping to around $140 million a year, okay?
Not signing Melky Cabrera. You've already said a few things that I disagree with completely. But that statement is just simply not true. So I'm not going to let you continue with that until we correct it.
In your opinion.
No, period. It's not true. If they don't sign Melky, it's because Melky Cabrera wants or is able to get a contract from another team that doesn't make sense for them to pay.
Yeah, but it also looks at the outline of chance to win, and that's the key too. They all want to supposedly win, and if he looks at, look, he's buddies with Jose and Carcion, etc. But if they know that they can't really, they just don't have the talent to win. You got a guy like Brett Laurie who's got all the talent in the world, but he can't stay healthy. We have the situation with Morrow, who reminds me of Al Leiter. He finally got healthy, and then he went to Miami and won a World Series.
But he won a World Series in Toronto first.
Yes, and we had him the 1 year, and then he went to Miami. Right. Yes, you're right. But the bottom line is why not just say, look, let's start fresh, bring in, Houston's doing it, other teams are doing it, let the young kids play, we're going to stink for it, but at least we're going to start letting them grow, keep that young talent, trade off some of your talent that we have, and I really believe that's the only way we can get better, by trading, Batista and Carcion, these types of guys, to get pitching, a second baseman that we haven't had in 4 years. And you know what I mean? We haven't had a true second baseman. And when you really look at Reyes, is he as good or does he appear to be as good as what we thought he is? I don't think he is. Okay. I only see more injuries and more injuries. And really, that's all I got to say, Mike.
All right. Really, so you want to trade arguably two of the best hitters in the major leagues.
You've got to. You can't
to fill a hole at second base.
But you can't win with two guys. You need to start mixing it around. You need some good infielders. We need outfielders. Let them be young. I'm not saying trade for strictly prospects, but trade for young professional guys that can play the game. Allow them to grow that niche. That are guys that aren't going to be on the DL. We've seen it with Laurie. As much as he shows great talent, he's on the DL quite a bit.
Yes.
All I'm simply saying is that we're not a year away from winning, okay? And the other teams around the league obviously see the position that we're in. But we do have some bait to maybe get us to some players that in the next 4 years that can bring us to the level of what we need to do, plus the odd free agent. And definitely a new manager. That's just my opinion. Like I said, I'm following the team. I love the team. And, at one time, the Jays used to be a destination where players actually wanted to come during the Pat Gillick days. Where are those days? They're gone. You know what I mean? So, and again, this was the year. If there was any year in the last 10 years for them to do what they could have done, this was the year. But to see them go in and trot out and not even give effort, that's strictly on management. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for calling all the way from the Philippines. I think you're making that last stuff up. I haven't seen a lack of effort. I haven't seen anybody quit. I haven't seen any of that stuff. If you want to equate a lack of offense with a lack of effort and with quitting, then that's your prerogative. But I mean, people were telling me that they quit in August. Look, to say that the Blue Jays are more than a year away just simply isn't the case. They're 2 months away. 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, this team was in a playoff spot. And the way that this season has ended, is ending, doesn't make that any less true. You're not going to be able to improve by trading Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. You're not going to be able to get players who are better than they are, because there really are only a handful of those in the major leagues. So I don't get it. I really don't. Dave in Toronto. Dave, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight.
Thank you for taking my call. I definitely have to give you an A for effort, you know, the calls you have to take and whatnot. But, I got to disagree with you. I mean, this has been an awful year. You know, the Jays have had one fantastic month. And if they didn't have that great month, let's call a spade, where would they be?
Well, if they didn't have the awful month, where would they be?
They've had many, many, many awful months.
They've had one awful month.
From everything that I'm hearing, you know, the Jays are, you know, anywhere between, I think, about 10 or 15 players away from even contemplating.
Oh, Dave, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard on this.
Hang on.
No. Look, you call a lot, and every time you call, you're very negative. This is awful. This is the worst thing possible. Whatever.
Right.
You know, you take away their one great month.
How can you be positive when a team is almost 20 games out of first place, and this was supposed to be their year? How can you? I mean, you were such a stat man. The only stat man that you take into consideration that really counts in win are wins and losses, and you never seem to talk about them. This is not a good team, and I think Toronto's got to determine what kind of team do they really want. Do they want a winner? Well, let's get some winning people in here to manage the team, from a coach and from ownership, because I don't think that we're heading in the right direction. And
can we get back to your initial point that was incredibly incorrect?
Sure.
The one good, you want to get rid of the one good month, one great month.
No, I'm saying what happened if you didn't have that great month?
Well, but you can't take that away, without taking away the bad month, too.
Right. If the Jays lose the rest of the games, realize they've only won three more games than last year.
Yes.
And this was supposed to be their year.
You understand that if they lose the rest of their games, that means they will finish the season on a 15-game losing streak.
Correct.
And there is no rational reason to believe even remotely that's going to happen.
But if someone told you they were going to finish 77 and whatever,
Dave,
at the beginning,
I am
of the
not
season.
Going to give you the point that they're going to lose their last 15 games of the season. If someone had told you that on August 1st they'd be in
games?
A playoff spot by three games, what would you have thought?
They were six games up in first place.
Yeah, in May.
And now they're 15 games out of a playoff spot.
Right.
Out of first place. Not very good.
Dave, changing. Well, no, sorry, not changing. Answering something different than what I asked you is not answering the question.
What was the question?
The question was,
What
would you have said if I told you in April that on August 1st they would have a three-game lead on a playoff spot?
I would not believe it, and I was actually calling at the beginning of the year saying that I think that the Jays were going to have a worse year this year than they did last year. I mean, I got to be honest. Reyes is such an injury-prone baseball player. I don't think Lurie's ever going to come back. Lynn is so up and down. The most consistent player the Jays have, who has been consistent over the years, Bautista. He is the most valuable commodity the Jays have.
Right.
And that is the reality. I mean, you can't say, you know, Stromberg's going to come back next year and have a great year.
Never heard of him.
Or the pitcher pitching tomorrow. And if I were the manager, I would just let him sit a six-game suspension, though, rather than having to wait six games next year. The season's gone.
He's not going to wait six games next year. Dave, I've had enough. I appreciate the call. Haven't heard from you in a while, and it's great to see that you're always willing to just lay into the Blue Jays. Look, I'll say this again. Losing these last six games sucks. The fact that they had a six-game lead in June, a 3-game lead on the wild card on August 1st. And now it's not going to happen. Sucks. The fact that those 4 games against Seattle that we thought were going to be so important are really not going to matter. None of that is, but none of that changes what happened in the first 4 months of the season. It's not one good month and this team is terrible. Because if you get rid of the one good, if you want to ignore the one good month, then you have to ignore August when they went 9-17. There is a reason why these things are happening. And it, you know, it's not good. It's not good that Melky Cabrera and Brett Laurie are out. It's not good that Edwin Encarnacion hasn't been himself since he came back from getting hurt on the 4th of July. It's not good that they missed the entire middle of their order for 6 weeks. But it's just unfathomable. The kind of stuff that I'm hearing from people who think they're making sense. It's okay to vent. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated. You should be all those things. But that next level, that's what I don't get. And that's a lot of what I hear from. Rob is in Keswick. Rob, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Feeling slightly defeated at this point, but I'm doing all right.
Tell me about it. But you know what? I am totally on your page about with this one. I'm getting kind of tired of people calling in and just like cutting the Jays up and taking out their frustrations here. I mean, we got a good ball club here. Like they've done really well this season. It's not been a horrible season. No, we're not making the playoffs, and it's unfortunate. But we have not played poorly. I mean, we had probably one of the best months of May out of like any baseball team that you can even think of. And you know, Encarnacion, he hasn't been the same since he came back from his injury in July. But still, I mean, to think that guy's going to have another month like he did in May in his entire career is like kind of far-fetched. I mean, the guy was incredible in May. You know, and to talk about trading Batista and Encarnacion away and to call him Encarnacion, like, are you even watching the Jays? But anyways, to even think about trading these 2 guys away for a second baseman is completely ridiculous. And it's just, I don't know what people are talking about. You know, they're speaking like Melky Cabrera is going to go, you know, is going to choose the Jays because the Jays want him. You know, like Melky Cabrera is going to go with whatever he feels like going with. Like, nobody seems to understand that the Jays don't have a choice here. They'll offer him a contract, obviously. If someone offers him a better one, then he's going to take that. There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, except offer him the best contract.
Exactly.
But when it gets silly, then you got to bow out.
Exactly. I mean, it's just nothing you can do about it. Like, you know, and we have to really stop trying to equate the Blue Jays with the Maple Leafs. I mean, it's 2 different teams, 2 different sports, 2 different everything. I mean, it's not the same. Like, you can't keep trying to compare the two. It's like apples and oranges here. It's getting kind of ridiculous. You know, I appreciate they're both from Toronto, but, you know, it's completely different.
True. Yeah, all true. Right. You're speaking a lot of truth right now, Robin Keswick.
It's just, you know, we had to calm down. It's upsetting. It's disappointing that the Blue Jays will not be in the playoffs this year. It really is. We've had a great season. You know, we were all gung-ho. We were at the top for a while. We were, you know, we did really well. But, you know, Baltimore came through. They started playing really well. I mean, you know, Seattle did really well. Oakland has been incredible. Angels have been incredible. I mean, it's not a matter of us playing poorly. It's just other teams playing better. You know,
no,
what are you gonna do?
It's been them playing poorly, right? Yeah. I think they're 13 games under 500 since their peak.
Definitely. But to me, it's not people giving up. It's not through people just not putting in effort. It's just we've had bad games. You know, things haven't worked out the way we wanted them to. I might go as far to say that maybe there's a couple of coaching errors there. I don't know. You know, like it's hard to say. because I'm not a professional Major League Baseball coach, so it's hard for me to really speak about it. But I don't think we've really done that badly this year. I'm kind of happy. I mean, compared to last season, it's like a 180-degree turn.
It was. It's fading badly right now. I don't think anyone should be, you know, happy about what's gone on this season, but especially the last few months. But it was, you know, this finally showed us that this was a team that was capable of doing some really good things. And I know the people want to blame whatever, the mix or the management or whatever it is. But the truth is they just kind of ran out of gas. And, you know, the guys who contributed early really weren't able to do it for the long haul. Kawasaki, Goins, Pilar, Gose, Juan Francisco, and they ran with him a lot too long. And it's too bad. It's too bad that they thought Lurie was coming back. That had a lot to do with them not making a deal for, you know, I still don't think they should have traded for a guy like Chase Headley. And Martin Prado's gone now anyway, but had they known Lurie wasn't going to come back or was only going to come back for three innings, I think things might have been a little bit different. Richard in Toronto. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Still okay, thank you.
Good. Mike, I wanted to talk about what you said earlier, that you think this is not going to be the same team next year. There's going to be some changes. And I'm concerned about their ability to upgrade at certain positions that need upgrading. So let's assume that Melky Cabrera and Colby Rasmus do not return. I don't know about you, but personally, I do not feel comfortable moving forward with Kevin Pillar because I don't think he's a good enough hitter to be an everyday player. I do not think Anthony Gose is a good enough hitter to be an everyday player. Ryan Goins is clearly not a good enough hitter to be an everyday player. Yes, Anthony Gose and Ryan Goins are elite defensive players, but in today's Major League Baseball, that's not good enough. You need to be able to hit. And obviously, Pilar and Gose are not good enough hitters, and Ryan Goins cannot hit at all. On top of all of that, I don't feel comfortable moving forward with Jose Reyes because he's such a poor defensive shortstop. If I had my druthers, they'd trade him and upgrade at that position. I realize that's probably not going to happen, but at the very least, I think they need to upgrade at left field, center field, and second base, and I'm concerned about their ability to do that because they're obviously incapable of replacing those positions from within the organization. They're obviously unwilling to trade their young pitchers. They can't replace all of those position players by trading R.A. Dickey. I can't see anyone even being willing to take Mark Billy in a trade. Ownership is unwilling to increase payroll, and free agents don't want to come to Toronto because of the artificial turf.
Didn't I hear all this on the Blair Show this morning?
I don't know. I wasn't listening to it.
Oh, wow, because it sounds pretty much word for word. Look, here's the thing. A lot of what you say has a lot of truth to it. I'm not willing to write off as easily as so many others are that guys under 25 are never going to be able to hit, especially a guy like Kevin Pillar, who's been a very, 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 very good hitter at every level of the minor leagues on his way up. I think that, you know, it's taking him a while, no question about it, and it's tough to watch a lot of what he's been doing lately. But this is a guy who has hit everywhere and hit really well everywhere. So I still think that Kevin Pillar's got a future. Do I want to hand him the everyday left field job next year? Absolutely not. No. I don't think he's ready for that yet. I'm very interested to see what's going on with the Dalton Pompey. I do think that trades can be made. I don't think you have to give up your elite level young pitchers to get a second baseman or a third baseman. It sort of depends because of, you know, Brett Laurie's positional flexibility. But I think that a lot of people are just kind of throwing their hands up and saying, oh, it can't be done. And if it can't be done, then you need a new general manager. But I don't think you need a new general manager because we've seen this guy be creative. We've seen him make a ton of trades. We've seen him work very hard and take some big shots to try to improve this team. Now, hasn't worked. Josh Johnson didn't work. Jose Reyes hasn't been what they hoped he would be. Emilio Bonifacio didn't work, things like that. But I like the shots, especially shots at guys who everybody loved at the time. So I do think changes will happen, and I do think changes are possible, and I do think there are deals to be made. I also think that there are free agents who will sign here because we've seen that over the years. It's tougher to get them, but you can get them, and they can fill holes. We are going to midnight. It's Blue Jays talk. We have to step aside for Kayla Harris. She will update you on all the goings-on, and we will continue to take your calls. Blue Jays talk till midnight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hit the foul pole. There she goes. Home run, Edwin Encarnacion. He's just cracked his 33rd, and the Blue Jays are in flight here in New York, leading 2-0.
Those were the good times. And when the Yankees came back and only scored one run in the bottom of the first, that was the Blue Jays' first completed inning with a lead since last Saturday. They would hold that 2-1 lead until the third when Jacoby Ellsbury hit a two-run homer, part of a 3-RBI day for him, before leaving with a strained hamstring after the fourth inning. And the Blue Jays lose it 5-3 to the New York Yankees. 9 games left in the season. The Jays are 1 game over 500. 2 left in the Bronx, then 4 home to Seattle, and 3 against the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight. Taking your calls, give me a call at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Talk to Matt Killer Brown, and if he deems you worthy, you get to talk to me. Just don't call and ask about trading Melky Cabrera. Couple of lines are open. Paul is in Toronto. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, how's it going there? Right. Listen, your last caller, I agree with a lot of things he said about Millar, Ghost, Goins. They're all dead bats, you know, like, but for Batista and Encarnacion to be able to carry all this weight on their two shoulders is beyond me to try and get runs. But I'm not giving up on Ghost, Millar. They could be excellent players down the road, but they need more seasoning. What's his name? Center fielder Ghost. He's got to learn how to bunt. If they can't teach this guy how to bunt, there is no place for this guy in the majors. I'm sorry. If he could bunt, he could stay in the majors forever because this guy can catch the ball, like you say. But he's got to be able to get on base. I don't care if he walks or if he learns how to bunt or what. But without doing that, there's nowhere for this guy in this team.
Okay, well, you just said you don't care if he learns how to bunt, but before that you said if he doesn't learn how to bunt, he shouldn't be in the major leagues. I think that would be a huge weapon for him, and I think he does need to learn to bunt, his way on. He could, I could see him being like Brett Butler and getting dozens of bunt hits a year, and that would help him out tremendously. So I think you're right, and I think Pilar is going to hit. But, yeah, right now it's Reyes, Lind, Bautista, and Encarnacion who are shouldering just about the entire load.
You know, like Reyes, I don't understand. Why can't they set the man free, like eat his contract, some of it up, like other teams do it? Why can't they eat some of the contract up and make a trade for him, throw somebody else with him in with him? I don't care who, but the guy is just not doing the job defensively. Yes, he's bad as good certain times. I agree with that. But anyways, I want to change one last thing before you let me go. You were off there back in August, and before you were off that one night there, I think Jay's Casey came in. They were up 3 runs, and that's when it all started. Most of the crap they blew the leads. Like for example, Casey. And the other guy, the left-hander, what's the left-hander?
Cecil?
No, the other guy.
Loop?
Loop. They gave up, between the two of them, they gave up 7 wins, is what I'm saying, okay? I've been watching most of the games, and I watched the games back in August, and they were the final nails in the Blue Jays' coffin. Blue Jays were in the running right back then, and anyways, when he gave up that 3-run lead, I called in that night, and you were off. I guess you couldn't take it either. You were off. The other guy was on George, I think it was. I said that's the final nail in the Blue Jays' coffin. I said, and he kind of agreed with me. And I mentioned to him that that the management let this team down. You've heard that story over and over again, and just so happens that he agreed with me. And if you go back and ask him personally, he will tell you the same story.
That's fine. It doesn't mean you were right. I mean, to suggest that the season's over on August 8th when they're still in a playoff spot is just silly.
No, I said when they gave up those leads, there were seven games, Mike, 7 games between the two of them. They lost 7 games, and they were in the mix. Right now, they had those 7 games. They hadn't given up those 7 games between two of them. They would be in the mix. They'd still be in the mix right now.
Yeah, they both got 5 blown saves this year, Loop and Jansen.
5?
Yeah, 5 each. So
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
Okay, well, you're incorrect. You can't disagree with a fact.
Excuse me, who gave them up? Who gave up the 3? Jansen?
I don't know what 3 you're talking about.
Well, you better check your statistics, Mike. I'm sorry, because I know one of them gave up 3.
Paul, if you would stop being angry and stop yelling and actually listen to what I said, I think you'd be a lot calmer.
No, you said only gave up 5. You said they've only given up 5.
I said they've given up 5 each.
Oh, 5 each?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, in other words, they have given up 7 since August, the middle of August, when they were in the mix.
Oh, that's since the middle of August?
I'm sorry?
Casey Jansen has 3 blown saves from August 1st on, and Loop has 1.
When Jansen came back from...
Okay, I'm not letting you tell this story again, Paul.
Excuse me.
I appreciate the call. The season was not over on August 8th. Just being silly now. I understand that it's out of anger. Believe me, I can hear the anger. But that's just silly. We'll take more of your phone calls in a sec, but assuming that this 9th inning doesn't end on this very pitch, we're going to do a live listen-in on the Cleveland Indians and the Minnesota Twins, and it didn't. It's a 4-4 tie. Aaron Hicks just tied the game up with a ground out to shortstop. Jordan Schaefer's at the plate right now with a 2-0 count on him against Indians closer Cody Allen, who's already blown this save. It is a 4-4 tie, bottom ninth. The winning run is on first, 2 out, and let's join the Fox Indians broadcast live.
Now it's 2-1 on Schaefer.
First, they're letting the broadcast breathe, as they say.
Hicks, despite good speed, has just 4 stolen bases this year.
It's a 4-4 tie with 2 out in the ninth, Minnesota and Cleveland.
And the 2-1 is hit out of play to the left. Kurt Suzuki with a one-out double just over the head of Tyler Holt in right field. And then Nunez came on the pinch run for him. Arcia lined a single to left. Nunez got to third. And then Hicks with the hard hit ground ball. Looked like it was going to be an inning-ending, game-ending double play. But to no avail, and the Twins have tied it up 2-2. Runner goes. Strike 3 called. We've got extra innings. Tied at 4.
All right, so it's free baseball in Minnesota. The Indians and Twins tied 4-4. Twins tie it up in the bottom of the ninth inning. We'll keep an eye on that game. We'll keep our eye on the A's and Phillies as well, as that is a 3-1 Oakland lead over Philadelphia as they play now in the top of the sixth inning. And that game is, wow, that game's really moving. That start at 10 o'clock? Can't be a sixth inning in an hour. That's crazy. We'll keep our eye on it. And we will Blue Jays talk it up till midnight. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We go now to Phil in Dundas. You're on Blue Jays Talk till midnight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I just wanted to talk. I didn't see much of the game tonight. I was working, but I was listening last night, and I heard everybody calling and complaining about the bottom of the lineup, and I was thinking, I don't know when Pillar, I didn't agree with Pillar being banished to the minors for as long as he was, but I thought it was odd when they brought him up. Like, it was within a week of when they expanded the rosters and they designated Nolan Reimold for assignment. And I'm thinking that the bottom of the lineup would look a lot better with Rasmus and Reimold instead of Pillar and Ghost.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. You know, I'm a big fan of Colby Rasmus. That's for sure. But the truth of the matter is, Colby Rasmus was given 4 months. He was on the DL for a month.
Yeah, I know.
To try to hit, and he didn't hit. And, he'd hit the occasional home runs, but you're looking at a .290 on base percentage, a .220 batting average, and a crap load of strikeouts. So
I know, but he's still a threat.
Well, but is he?
There, right?
Was he? Is he a threat, or is just he's a guy who's performed well in the past?
I still at crunch time. I think with Rhyme, I didn't get let go of Reimold anyway. I was within a week. I think of the expansion of the roster.
That was a weird kind of move. Absolutely, especially for a guy that they had touted so highly. But then Reimold was 3 for his last 24 with 13 strikeouts and 24 at bats.
But he had won them a couple games.
But that was before. That was before he got hurt, right?
Yeah.
Right when he came up, he looked really good, and he had that two homer game against Houston too, the day before the trade deadline, which was after he came back. But I don't quite know why Nolan Reimold fell out of favor as drastically as he did, but he did, They couldn't wait that extra week with all the asset management that they were doing, right, with all the holding on to Juan Francisco for dear life.
Right.
They had no problem a week before, less than a week before rosters expanded, letting go of Nolan Reimold to bring Kevin Pillar back up. So that makes me think something was definitely up. He hasn't been great with Arizona since they've picked him up. He hasn't gotten much work at all. And he's 2 for his last 12 with them. And he's only had like 15 at bats in a couple of weeks. So
yeah, I thought it would have been good insurance, though, if they don't re-sign Melky. I thought that would have been an option.
As an everyday player? I don't think so.
I don't know. Also, with regards to the Morrow, I think they have to pick up the option on Morrow. If they can't work out an extension or something, he's an asset. They talk about asset management. $10 million, it's an insurance policy. I think Sanchez should start the year in the bullpen next year just to manage his innings.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a terrible idea. I think they just have to figure out what you want to use Brandon Morrow for and if that's worth $10 million. If they want Morrow to close, I can't imagine they pick up that option.
Now, I think if Morrow's healthy, he should be in the rotation. That would be my call.
I think so, too. I think he's got ace stuff. But I wonder, at the same time, and I've talked about this a million times, and I don't know the answer. Is holding his innings down going to help keep him healthy? With the injuries that he's had, they've all been freak weird injuries, right? There are no arm injuries the last 3 years. There's been an oblique thing that cost him 3 months, 3 years ago, or 2 years ago. Last year it was a radial nerve impingement in his wrist. Who gets that? And this year was another one, right? The torn A3 pulley in the tendon sheath in his right hand. So I don't know that holding his innings down will keep him any healthier, which kind of makes me think, well, why not give him a shot to start? Then again, he's gotten hurt each of the last 3 years out of the rotation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite a catch 22, but it's sort of almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And that might be the same thing. It's frustrating, but I thought Ponte was playing today.
He did.
I find that surprising. I would think that you should be fielding your strongest lineup until you're mathematically eliminated.
Well, the problem is that your strongest lineup at the bottom of the order isn't doing a damn thing.
Yeah.
Right? The 7 through 9 hitters in the order in the past 7 games going into tonight were hitting 137.
Yeah.
So, stick you and me in there, and it's not going to be that much worse. So why not take a shot? And at least Pompey hit the ball hard 3 times and wound up getting a hit. And tonight, the 7 through 9 hitters were 3 for 12.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right. I appreciate it. I don't think making any changes to those 7, 8, 9 guys is messing with your ability to field your best team at this point in time. Blue Jays lose it 5-3 to the New York Yankees. They are just 1 game over 500. 2 games behind the Yankees for second place in the American League Eastern Division. And really, that's the goal right now. Second place in the AL East. They've done it once since 1993. Once. Bill is in Barry. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Still good, thank you.
I gotta say, you got a lot of patience dealing with some of these calls night after night through the entire summer. I can't believe the negativity of some of the fans. Their one-dimensional look at the team, not really knowing exactly what the heck's going on behind the scenes or what's even coming on the farm. All they see is what's there right now, and that's it.
Well, you know what? A lot of people don't have to have a broader scale look at what's going on. Your fans are allowed to be angry for no reason or for what they perceive to be a reason. My job here is to let them vent to me, and if they're up a tree, to let them know how to get down.
Oh, true enough. That's probably why I wanted to call, because I've been a Blue Jays fan my entire life. I'm 38 years old. I enjoyed the World Series years as a teenager. I would love to see a World Series again in my lifetime, but preferably in the next few years. And my whole point is, I think we got a lot coming in the system. We've got a lot already on this roster. I really love the young pitching that Alex has drafted and brought up in Sanchez, Stroman, Norris, Graveman, even Nolan. And then we've got kids like Boyd, Labro, and a few other names down in the lower minors who could be jumping up just as quick as these other kids did this year. So there's a lot of positivity there. I think there's some depth in the position coming forward. Yeah, there's a couple guys that are still a few years away in the names of Mitch Ney and Matt Dean, a few other guys like that. Fans need to know that these guys are coming, that Alex hasn't completely, done a terrible job, but he hasn't completely succeeded on every trade he's made. But I think that's a crapshoot of best of times for any general manager, personally. But my biggest concern with this team, and the one thing that I see negative that I've seen really for 2 years, and it's kind of brought back memories of 09 when they got rid of Gibbons the first time, is I don't like his management of the younger players. I think Goins should have been given a lot longer a leash earlier in the year. I can't for the life of me figure out why Kawasaki's playing in front of him right now when there's all this talk about getting him more at-bats in winter ball. Well, if it's on Dalton Pompey and they're out there tonight, Goins should have been out there also.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And as far as letting Ryan Goins go at the end of April, you can't paint that as a John Gibbons decision. That's a management decision. Gibbons and Anthopoulos working together, and Goins deserved to go at that point.
That's true. He wasn't really hitting
at all. You're talking about a guy who had a 420 OPS.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I love what he brings defensively, personally.
I do too, but you got to hit a bit.
The confidence he gives the pitcher, though, to throw you know, they throw their sinkers, throw their cutters that are going to create ground balls, knowing that they got a guy like going back there who's going to grab the ball instead of watching it go into right or center field. I think that makes a huge difference confidence-wise for the pitchers.
But I don't think it makes as much of a difference as you think it does. I think it makes a difference. I agree with you that it makes a difference, but...
I did want to ask you a question, though, yeah. Mike, because I know you're a bit of a Bones fan, and I've agreed with you on things that you said in the past on a couple other shows. What are your thoughts of the Jays, you know, going forward with going kind of as their everyday second baseman, but bringing in a legitimate hitting right-handed second baseman to complement him?
Like, but he has to be able to field too, right?
Yeah. Like somebody's somewhat legitimate. I mean, you don't need somebody who's going to be completely perfect with the glove because you can always bring Gomes in later in a game defensively. But somebody who can actually hit left-handed, it's like one guy I've always loved was Jeff Baker. I was kind of upset they didn't get him last year. But a guy along that bowl who can somewhat play the field, it doesn't have to be exactly perfect, but why would you
do that when you have Danny Valencia?
That's true. Well, Valencia now has kind of filled that void, I guess, too, providing Lurie's healthy.
Right. It all hinges on provided Lurie's healthy. But if Lurie is healthy, then you don't need that right-handed complement because you've got Valencia who can move Lurie to second against lefties and play third, and then, you know, Valencia's better than Baker against lefties. He's better than most guys against lefties.
Yeah, I guess I kind of forgot about Valencia. He's kind of faded away the last little while.
Well, because he's playing against so many right-handed pitchers. He's been terrible.
But the other point I just wanted to bring up was I've heard a lot of guys tonight talking about, you know, the team was so bad the rest of the year. They were so good in May. You can't take what they did in May. You have to take more of what they did all season. Honestly, I see the team being what it is, a 500 team this year, at least under this manager. But at the same time, you also have to discount what happens to guys like Bautista in August when, you know, I have a lot of respect for Navarro, but he's not a cleanup hitter. He's not a guy that teams are going to be careful about Bautista pitching and then, you know, not be afraid to face Navarro. Whereas when you got Encarnacion hitting behind Bautista, Bautista's going to see a lot more pitches and have a lot more opportunities to do what he does best, which is basically carry the offense.
Right. Now, there was a good...
That would have made a huge difference in August had they had Encarnacion behind Bautista.
Of course, and Lynn. There was a good 5-week period where teams could game plan for the Blue Jays and say, we are not going to let Jose Bautista beat us. Period. End of story. Doesn't matter. Anybody else, not Bautista. And Deonor Navarro was hitting fourth for a while, and the lineup kind of fell off a cliff after Bautista without Encarnacion and Lyndon Lurie. And I know that there are those who, you know, the population that calls in here to yell at me hears that to say and rolls their eyes and says, oh, injuries, everybody has injuries. Injuries are just an excuse, injuries. But it's a legitimate thing. You build your expectations of a team based on the personnel that they have and based on what you think you're going to get. And you didn't get your 4, 5, 6 hitters for 6 weeks. And that's kind of huge. Even with the injuries that Baltimore's had to deal with, not to this extent. The Yankees, sure, without Sabathia and without basically 80% of their starting rotation, they could plan for not having Alex Rodriguez. But those sorts of things, you really need to take a good hard look at it. And it was definitely a factor in what happened to the team this year. That said, 6 games ago, the Blue Jays were right in the thick of it. And they haven't won since, with Lind and Encarnacion both back. Ricardo is in Stouffville. Hey, Ricardo.
Hello, yes. I have lots to say, so you listen up. I am so mad. I am not mad at the Jays. I am mad at these callers. These son of a gun call in, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, this. Listen, when I first started to watch in April, I thought these Jays do no good. I thought they were worse than last year. but they over-delivered. They give me so much nice hope for next year. They got these three horses, Strowman, Hutchison, Norris. Very nice. I cannot wait to see how they develop into big, strong men next year and do so well. They got Jose Ghost running around the outfield catching everything possible. Nothing goes by him.
Okay, there's thanks, enough. Ricardo. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, you kind of gave yourself away with the Jose Ghost thing. Thank you, I guess. I don't know why people think calling in and pretending to have what they think are funny accents is funny. But then I have long since given up on trying to figure people out. And it's really been tough to figure these Blue Jays out too. How about that for a segue, huh? It's Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight. This is going to be the last Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight that we get this season, barring a long extra inning game the rest of the way. The Blue Jays are back at it in New York tomorrow in a rare 4:10 Eastern start. We've got the pregame at 3:30, and then Marcus Stroman and Chris Capuano, as the Blue Jays will try to snap their 7-game losing streak. And they'll try to stay above 500. I mean, this isn't, I can't believe that this is even a thing. With the way this season was shaping up, I can't believe that 500 is even a thing. The last time the Blue Jays were at 500 was, in fact, in New York. Or no, against New York. When they lost on August 29th, 6-3, and it was Chris Capuano who's starting tomorrow who beat Mark Burley. That dropped the Blue Jays to 67-67. The Jays then won 9 of their next 11 games, culminating with that sweep of the Chicago Cubs to get to 76-69. And they're 1-7 since. They split those first two against Tampa Bay. They haven't won since. They've lost 6 games in a row. The last time the Blue Jays were under 500 was back in May, when they were 20-21 after Cleveland pounded them 15-4. They came out of that game with 12 wins in their next 14 games. Let's do a live listen-in, shall we? Cleveland Indians and the Minnesota Twins are in extra innings. Bottom of the 10th, nobody out. Runners at first and third. And Brian Dozier just singled. So Joe Mauer's coming up to the plate. That is very interesting. Kyle Crockett on the mound, lefty versus lefty, and it looks like they're going to intentionally walk Joe Mauer. And that will bring up Kennys Vargas. And this is a guy who's very, very interesting. 24 years old, 6'5", big and huge. And as a rookie, he's hitting .296 with an .809 OPS. He's already homered tonight. This is a guy who Minnesota is really looking forward to having for a very long time. The Cleveland Indians on the fringes of the playoff race, 2 games ahead of the Blue Jays going into action tonight. So they would very much like not to lose this, to keep their faint hopes alive. They're 4 games behind the Oakland A's for the second wild card in the American League. Joe Mauer's been walked. Bases loaded, nobody out in the bottom of the 10th. This could be a lot of fun. Let's listen live on Fox Sports Indians. Cleveland and Minnesota are tied 4-4.
Now the intentional walk to load him up to face Vargas. Vargas! So the outfield draws in. The infield is in. Four in the bottom of the 10th with nobody out. And Crockett deals a swing and a miss. Sometimes, especially with a young hitter, the overly aggressive. We'll see if Crockett can take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping for.
He's very anxious. He wants to win it. Swing and a miss. It's 0-2. Don't throw him a strike. And you can see he's up there hacking at everything. Another breaking ball out of the zone. That wasn't even close, but he's getting after it. He wants to walk it off. He's down in the count 0-2 now. But remember, Dozier had an 0-2 count.
He wants it up high. It went low. One ball, two strikes. And let that, unless that was a decoy move by the catcher Perez, in case a base runner would try to relay information to the hitter. Swing and a miss. He got him to go fish again.
He didn't swing at a strike in that whole at bat.
One down. Base is still loaded. And now Terry Francona has a decision to make. We got CC Lee up in the bullpen. Josh Tomlin up in the bullpen.
Yeah, you got to go get the right hand.
There is Chris Parmalee still on the bench, I believe, for Minnesota.
So Kenny Vargas strikes out. And again, as you heard from the broadcast, he was not thrown a strike. Four pitches, all basically just a hair above the dirt. And he swung at all of them, except for one. So now Josh Tomlin comes into the game with one out in the bottom of the 10th inning. And Trevor Plouffe coming to the plate. I want to keep it here. It means we're going to be late to break. But I want to keep it here so that we give you the rest of this bottom of the 10th and see if the Minnesota Twins can walk it off. Now bases loaded and one out. Elsewhere tonight, the Mariners are leading the Houston Astros 10-5. Oakland a 3-1 lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. Detroit already beat the heck out of Kansas City 10-1. So what that means as far as the standings are concerned is that Detroit opens up a 1.5 game lead over the Royals for first place in the AL Central. That's the only American League division that's still in play, and the Tigers and Royals are playing each other this weekend, which makes things awfully cool. As far as the wild card goes, Kansas City has now fallen into a tie with the A's for the both wild card spots. So if Oakland wins, they'll move ahead by half a game. If Oakland loses, they'll stay a half a game back. Seattle is a game behind the two of them and would close to within a half game with a win. A half game of Kansas City, at least. And if Oakland should lose, then Seattle would move into a tie for that spot. And if Cleveland can win here, then they could move 3.5 games out of the wild card, which is not much of a chance, but still a chance with a week and a half to go, or at least a week and a bit to go. So this is really big for the Indians, and they're in a lot of trouble. Let's take you back to Minnesota. 4-4, Indians and Twins, one out, bases loaded, bottom of the 10th.
Right-hander Josh Tomlin, who will be facing Trevor Plouffe. The bases loaded and one out. Tomlin's 25th appearance of the year.
But a guy that's going to be around the plate. You know, he's Trevor Plouffe, a guy that he has 40 doubles on the year. He's a pretty good RBI guy, 78. He's 0 for 4 tonight. Josh Tomlin is going to have to come out of here for the Indians to get out of this and keep it a tie ball game. Like I said, Houdini's going to have to make an appearance. And I'll tell you what, Crockett did get Vargas to swing and miss it. Pitches that were nowhere near the strike zone for out number one. Now you could get a one hard hit double play ball, possibly two if it's at one of your infielders, or they can come home. But remember, Santana on third is very fast.
Tomlin deals. Swing and a miss. Ploof. Game up empty. Well, that was the same situation we had in the ninth inning. Then the Twins had first and third with one out. Looking for the double play ball. They got it but didn't turn it. And the Twins tied the game. Pulled foul, 0-2. Well, Plouffe, like Vargas, very aggressive. He wants to end it.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of hitters do. They go up there. They're not patient. They're figuring, okay, I want to get this over with. And what happens, you get a little too anxious, and you're helping the pitcher out. That time, Tomlin might have made a mistake and left to break a ball up, and he was a little too quick on it. But, boy, hitters get anxious. A lot of times hitters get themselves out.
Now Vargas certainly did. Now the 0-2 to Plouffe. Line to center. Bourne charging hard. And the Twins win it.
There it is, a walk-off for Trevor Plouffe. The Minnesota Twins beat the Cleveland Indians 5-4. And we've been doing these little live listen-ins all week long, and we've had about four walk-off wins. So the timing has been pretty terrific. So the Cleveland Indians now fall, at this point in time, 4.5 games back of the second wild card in the American League. And they're actually, well, they're not assured of staying there. If Oakland should lose, and they're leading the Phillies 3-1 right now in the seventh inning, if Oakland should lose, the Indians would stay four back. But right now, 4.5 back, and it'll be 4.5 back of Kansas City if Oakland should hold on to win. Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight continues. We'll take a couple more of your calls when we return, as we break. It's Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Three, game over. Yankees win it 5-3, dealing the Blue Jays their sixth straight loss. As they dip under the 500 waves in September, they are now 8-9 on this road trip, 0-5.
Yeah, they started September 8-3, and things looked awfully good, but they haven't won since then. Jerry Howard with the final call. Jose Reyes can't get a fourth hit tonight. Strikes out to end the ballgame, a 5-3 loss to the New York Yankees. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk Till Midnight. And we got time to sneak in another call or two. Just waiting for Matt Killer Brown to set things up for me. Let's go to Jamie in Kitchener. Jamie.
Hey, Mike. I just got two comments, one on AA and one on Paul Beeston. AA, he is a good, hardworking manager. He does his homework. I'd love to have him as my GM. And Paul Beeston, he's another echelon. He seems to know exactly what the Blue Jays need. He came out, he had this video at the beginning of the year. He called, the whole video was about what Winfield brought in 92. So he's all around it. He knows what they need. Maybe he just didn't put his finger on exactly what they need. But when he said it's what Winfield brought in 92, that's exactly what this team is lacking and what this team needs. So he knew it. What I just can't understand is how they've watched Gibby not deliver it and still leave him in there for so long. And that's all I got to say, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I continue to not understand why this comes down onto the manager. I really don't. I mean, sure, there have been a couple of times where he's pinch hit Juan Francisco instead of Dan Johnson this year, this month. But for the most part, John Gibbons is just dealing with the hand he's been dealt, playing the cards he's got, and that's it. We got a minute left. Danny and Ancaster, sneak you on to wrap this thing up. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Mike. I just want to mention, first of all, you've got great command of the English language, and to deal with what you've got to deal with, You've got nerves of steel, and that comes appreciated.
Swell of you. Now you have 40 seconds.
Yeah, okay, well, I just wanted to get educated. I'm just new in baseball a couple of years now, and I wanted to find out a couple of definitions as far as OBP and WHIP. And thirdly, what's wrong with the concept of having a strong batter in your lineup for batting, having strong and then a weaker batter, having a strong then a weaker batter, trying to get the bases loaded if the weaker guys line it up and manage to get something done? Thanks. I'll just listen to you quick. Thank
you. Okay. On base percentage, OBP is basically it's the amount of times you don't get out, the reverse of your on base percentage shows how often you reach base. WHIP is walks and hits per innings pitched. And why you don't stagger a batting order with weak hitters in between strong hitters is because those guys at the top of the lineup come up more often than anybody else, and you want your better hitters batting as often as possible. Thanks for the call. We got to go back at 3:30 tomorrow. Marcus Stroman and Chris Capuano.